Thank you. We thank you. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I just want to say welcome to the visitors. Amen. We're about to get started. Amen. Amen. And amen. I believe there's a shift that we have made and are making in the church. And he came and told us that God told him to become an apostle, told him he was an apostle. But as I look over the years, he was working in the apostolic years before he even said that. There was something that he always said. He said, listen, I want to teach you so good that if I go off, you'll know it. Ain't a lot of preachers going to tell you that. A lot of preachers going to tell you, listen to me, what I say, go, whatever I say, obey me. But even he also would say, I want to teach you to the point to where you ain't got to call me every time something come up. That you'll know what to do and how to do it and know how to handle a situation when it comes up regardless. This is the will of God. Everybody say, this is the will of God. The will of God is not for you to continue to be a child or be a baby that need to be babysat. But it's for you to grow up into him in all things. Go to Ephesians 4 real quick. It's a shifting. Everybody say shifting. Come on, say it again. Say shifting. The apostolic is putting us in a place. I hear Leroy Jr. say it over and over on Sundays. When in the beginning, he says, putting us in a place where you don't need the man of God to do it for you because you can do it for yourself. Say for myself. Come on, say I'll do it for myself. Because sometimes some things come up and you ain't got time to call nobody. Anybody ever had that happen? It happened so fast, I ain't got time. You know, we pray in tongues pretty quick. We can get there really fast. But sometimes we can't even get over there that quick. Something come up just like that. I've got to know what to do and how to do it. And I've got to let the God nature on the inside of me stand up immediately. Are y'all hearing me? If you hear me, say amen. Amen. Say a little loud. If you hear me, say amen. Amen. So we're shifting. Sometimes it's a... I think over the years of religiosity, we've made the will of God difficult. We've made it difficult. We made it hard. Jesus says, my yoke is easy, but we insist on making it hard. All he says, y'all working real hard. Y'all working real hard. Y'all trying, y'all praying till y'all sweating. Y'all working real, real hard. Come over here. Let me talk to you. You're laboring heavy laden. I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. That's what Jesus said. If I'm meek and lowly heart, you'll find rest for your soul. How many rest for your soul? Amen. Rest. He said, because my yoke is and my burden is light. Now, was he lying? So if he wasn't lying, why life be hard? All right, we got to figure out what we're going to choose now. If life is hard, but Jesus says it's easy, but my life is hard, but Jesus says it's easy, and the things that I'm doing is hard, but Jesus says it's easy, then maybe I'm going the wrong path. Maybe what I'm doing over here is the wrong way, and that's why it's so difficult. That's why it's a toil. That's why it's a push, because maybe I haven't recognized that this is the way that I should be. Not the way that I should go, the way that I should be. Are y'all hearing me? We're going to go back to Ephesians. Let me read it for a second. Ephesians, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. It's verse 1. With all lowliness and meekness and longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There's one body and one Spirit, even as you are called, and one hope of your calling. Everybody say one. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above and through and in. Now that's pretty simple, ain't that? It's one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all. He's above us. Everybody say he's above us. Yeah. But he's also through us. Yes. Come on, say God is through me. Yeah. I don't want to say working through you. I want to say God is through you. Say God is through me.
Yes.
Come on, say God is in me.
God is in me.
But verse 7, but unto every one of us, look at me, every one of us, every individual in every seat, everybody watching online, everyone, say everyone.
Yes.
And to every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Mm-hmm. That means we've been measured out Christ. He's passed out a measure. He's passed out Christ to us, and we've all been given that gift. Listen. Wherefore, he said, when he ascended upon high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now, he that ascended, what is also, but also descended first into the lower parts of the earth. He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill. How many things? I can hear you. How many things? All things. Verse 11. You read. Ready, read. Verse 12, read. For the perfecting of the saints, the maturing of the saints, the maturing of the saints, the maturing of the saints, the maturing, the completeness of the saints. For the work of the ministry. So we can't go to work in the ministry until we get complete. Are y'all hearing? It's an order. Everybody say order. Come on, say it again. Say order. One more time, say order. So there's a maturity that has to happen before there's a passing out. The word ministry, I love it. The way I look up these words, the word ministry simply means to pass something out, to administer something, to pass something out. But I can't pass out something that I ain't got. I can't give you something that I ain't got myself. Come on now. If I'm not mature, how could I tell you to be mature? If I'm not complete, how could I pass out completeness to you? How could I go into all the world and preach the gospel if I don't know the gospel for me? If I don't know what the good news really is about myself, perfecting of the saints, work of the ministry, the edifying of the body. So now the edifying of the body can't even be built if we don't first be perfected. I want to deal with the word perfect because we always saying this and we get these phrases from everybody in the world. Ain't nobody perfect. That's a lie. See, you talking about flawless. Yeah, what y'all talking about is flawless. Y'all talking about flawless. Y'all talking about it ain't nothing. Well, you know, you can't deal with flawlessness. But perfection has to do with purpose. Yes. Has to do with maturity, completeness, and purpose. And he says, herein is our love made perfect. So why would he tell me I could be perfect if I couldn't? Yeah. Perfecting of the saints, work of the ministry, the edifying the body. That's what the gifts are for. Verse 13, you read, ready, read. Who tell how many? Oh, how many? I can't hear y'all. Read it again. Tell we. And that till means until. Right? So this has got to go on until we come into the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. Unto a perfect man, unto the measure and the stature and the fullness of Christ. What it's trying to say is, we're doing this until we look like Christ when we show up. Until we're not calling on Christ, we are being Christ. That we henceforth be no more children, immature, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine and sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie and wait to deceive. Verse 15, but speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things. May grow up in all things. That's what it say, right? It say that we got to grow up in everything, right? Hold on. Read your Bible. Read your Bible. Don't answer me too quick. I know we, yes, sir, amen, amen. Hold on, read your Bible. So that we grow up in all things. Wait, what? I can't hear y'all, what? Wait, so it don't say we got to just grow up. Oh, there's a destination. There's a goal to grow up into. Oh, so in our growing up, in our maturing, there is a template that I've got to grow up into. Y'all got it? Y'all got it? There is a character that I'm growing up into. I'm not just growing up because I can grow up the wrong way. Sometimes when you're in the garden or when you're growing a plant, sometimes you got to put like a little stake next to it and wrap it up and tie it up because you're trying to train up a child in the way it should go and when it's older. You get me? You got to make it grow up in the way you want it to go. So sometimes I got to put that stake on there, almost like nailing to the cross. I got to put that and wrap it to it. Yes, sir. Thank you, Holy Spirit. God, thank you, Holy Spirit. I got to wrap it to this thing until you start growing in the right direction. And once you're growing in the right direction, then once you got the growth, Once you've got the grow under control, then I can take that off because I know you're growing in the right direction. Thanks, Holy Spirit. Y'all don't understand what I be saying. I don't be having this stuff in my head. And he be bringing stuff up, and I'm grateful for it. Sometimes you got to put that guide on there. You got to put that brace on there until it knows which direction it's supposed to be growing in. So now we got the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers that are binding us to something. There's a word. The word religion. Now the hot phrase is I'm not having religion. I got a relationship. And the new thing is I'm down with religion because we don't understand what these words mean. The word religion means to bind. Yeah, to bind to something. Some of you men got a religion right now. You got a belt on. Your belt is binding your pants to you. Yeah, it's simple. Everybody say simple. Simple. See what happens? Because we came into this world, there's a lot of religiosity that's already established, and then a lot of different sectors that took words and made them spiritual, made them deep, and it did, we lost the regular meaning of the word. The word religion means to bind to something, right? And so sometimes it starts off binding you to something. Somebody got to bind you to some kind of rules. Somebody got to bind you to some kind of understanding. Every single one of us were raised in a certain way to bind us to an understanding. I hope you put on deodorant this morning. I hope you brush your teeth this morning. I hope you took a shower. I hope there were certain things that you had to be taught as a young person that were necessary for your maturity. They were necessary for you to be walking a grown life. Are y'all hearing me? But somebody had to tell you that over and over again. And now you didn't come out and say, I just want to be clean. Matter of fact, the first time you clean, you didn't even clean yourself. Uh-oh. Your first washing, you didn't do it. I'm trying not to be cruel, but your first wiping. Change some diapers so I understand. Your first wiping, you ain't do it. You just did what you did and walked away. Come on. Y'all all sophisticated now. I'm clean now. I know how to handle myself. Yeah, no. All y'all started off like that. Every single one of y'all started off like that. Every single one of y'all started doing it on yourself. Come on. There we all come into the unity. Come on. Every single one of us. You just do it and say, I poo-poo. Hand up. Y'all know I'm so used to it right now because I see how it go. Your hands up here. I poo-pooed. Well, you could tell me you poo-poo. Why you ain't just go poo-poo? That was all of us. Now, gratefully, I didn't even want to get into this story. God, no. But gratefully, this week has been a great leap in my house because my little baby being potty trained. She made two yesterday. And so she potty training. She said, I potty, and she been making it to the potty. Praise the Lord. So I'm about tired of buying diapers. Huh? I'm about tired of buying diapers. Why I keep paying for these diapers? There comes a time when you start to recognize and realize, and then you go for yourself. And I don't need the preacher to come wipe me no more. I don't need the preacher to change my diaper because I'm not doing it on myself no more. I understand when it's coming and I make my way to where I need to go. But before then, I need to be bound to something. I need to be bound to some kind of structure. Everybody say structure. Say it loud, say structure. One more time, say structure. There is some kind of government that I need to be bound to so I know the direction I need to be going in. Are y'all hearing me? Yes. We have to move. We cannot villainize what religion is, right? Because it's tying us to something that's guiding us in a certain direction. But the problem with religion and the problem that we have is that we stay there too long. Yes. Listen to what I'm saying. We wear diapers too long. We got to be carried around too long. your legs working, your feet working. You can walk where you want to walk to, but you want somebody to carry you. Are y'all hearing me?
Yes.
Moving from that to reality, religion to reality. Everybody say religion,
religion.
To reality.
Religion.
Come on, say it again, religion,
religion.
To reality.
Religion.
One more time, say religion,
religion.
To reality.
Religion.
It binds me to something, right? The word of God will bind me to something until I realize that I'm that thing it's binding me to. I heard it went over your head. It'll bind me. It'll bind me to something until I realize I'm that something. I'm gonna say it again. It's going to bind me to something until I realize that I'm the something I've been looking for. Yeah, Luke starts talking about it. Let's go over the head. He went over the head, beat him over the head because he didn't realize what you were talking about. Luke 17, it says, they say, when's the kingdom of God is coming? What, like we've been looking for it. Where's the kingdom of God coming? Jesus says, some say low here. Or some say low there. No, he said the kingdom of God is within you. So the thing that I've been tying you to is making you recognize who you are. My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear to my saying. Let them not depart from thy mouth. He's trying to say, this book of the law shall not depart from thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate. Apostle been talking about meditation. Everybody say meditation.
Meditation.
Thou shalt meditate day and night. Meditate day and night. Meditate day and night. That thou mayest, you should meditate day and night. For what? Why meditate day and night? Huh? That you observe. How much of it? Some of it. That we may grow up in him in all things. There's a, I like to use an example. There's a meditation that you did without knowing you meditated. Say your name.
Amen.
Say your name.
Amen.
Say your name loud, please. Come on, y'all stop playing with me. I see people looking at me, they be like, no. Say your name one more time.
Yeah.
How you know? I'm asking. How you know? How you know it's your name? You ever thought about how you know your name? See, we're so casual with it now. We're so casual and we say it so quick. If I ask you what your name is, what's your name? Say it. I so casual, so quick. You didn't have to pray. There was no meditation involved. There was no Holy Spirit enlightenment involved. How did y'all feel the spirit when you said your name? No, you didn't. You didn't feel the glory. You didn't wait for the, come on. Y'all know you're going to church. We didn't feel the glory. The glory, the cloud didn't come in and say, oh, my name is Montreal. Watch how immediate it was. What's your name? Come on, what's your name? Come on, what's your name? Watch how immediate it is. Immediately, right? There's no thinking. There's no meditation. There's prayer. There's no thought process. There's no worry. There's no fear. There's no faith. You don't need to believe it because you know what's your name. Now, how you know your name that well? How you know your name that well? How you know it's your name? See, we take it for granted. We take the process for granted when the process is always there. How do you know? How did you learn your name? I'm asking, like I'm really asking. How did you learn your name? Huh? I can't hear y'all. What you said? Somebody told you? And somebody said it over and over again? It was probably around the same time they was changing your diapers, too. All that was probably happening at the same time. Y'all realize what I'm talking about? You was learning how to be clean and who you were at the same time. Over. And 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 over again until it was ingrained in your mind that that was your name and nobody could change your mind about it. Whoever was teaching you made you commit to that name. Whoever was teaching you said it so much to where you couldn't get away from that name if you wanted to. This is why my father, my father, my physical father, did not let them give me a nickname. Y'all can't call him Monty. I know it sound cool, and I know you like the nickname, but y'all can't call him Monty because his name Montrell.
That's right.
If you keep hearing Monty, he'll never know his name Montrell.
Yeah.
Come on, y'all. Come on, come on, come on. If he keeps hearing Monty, right, he'll never know his real name. So now when it's time for him to say his name somewhere, he won't know his real name. He's saying the wrong name.
That's good.
In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. We have the victory. In the name. What's your name? Your name is your character. Whose name do you have? Whose name are you wearing? But over and over and over again. I was convinced to the point where it went beyond belief. You don't believe your name is Ricardo. You know your name is Ricardo. You don't need nobody to show you a piece of paper. You don't need somebody to call you or talk to you or talk you through that or convince you of that. You know that's your name. And why? Because over faith comes by and by the word of God. Everybody say over and over. Come on, do your hands. Say over and over. Come on. Do your hands. Say over and over. Come on. Do your hands. Say come on, come on, come on. Use your hands. I do it for a reason. Say over and over. Over and over and over. And you know what? We believe this. You know why we believe this? Because we go to work over and over again. We believe over. We believe in the over and over. We believe in over and over because we go to school. We believe that over and over, if we hear something over and over, it's going to certify us to do something. It's amazing how many people go to school and still be trash at what they're doing. Everybody say over and over.
Over and over.
So I find my name, I find my character, I find who I am. And when I find who I am, I go it over and over and over and over and over again until you can't convince me otherwise. Because what's your name? What's your name? Say your name. So how quick it happened? Now what if you knew that you were made in the image and likeness of God just as much as you know your name? I'll wait for it. I'm gonna let it sit there for a minute. What if you knew that you were one with God, because you are. Say, I'm one with God. Say it loud. Don't say it scary. Hold on. Don't say it scary. Don't say it scary. Philippians 2:5. Go. I don't want you to say this scary. Philippians 2:5. I don't want you to say this scary. Don't be scary. Philippians 2:5. I just don't want you to be scared. I want to show you something. It says, let this mind be in you. Come on, say, let this mind be in me. Watch this. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So we see what kind of mind we need to let be in us. Everybody say, let it be though.
Let it
be. Don't make it be.
Don't.
Don't try it be.
No.
Let it be.
Let.
And in order to allow something, that means something is already trying to be something.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
If I allow you in my house, that means you already trying to come in. Y'all got me? You already in the process of walking in. I unlocked the door and I allowed you in. That means it was already trying to happen. So that means maybe the mind of Christ has been trying to stand up in you the whole time, but you've been thinking about something else. You got the mind of somebody else in you. What mind have you been letting be in you? Yeah. What mind have I been letting be in me? And I'll show you what your results been. Let this mind, everybody say, this mind.
This.
You gotta get specific about it. This mind be in who?
Me.
Which was also in Christ Jesus. So that means a possibility that I can think like Christ.
Yeah.
It's a possibility that I can have the same perspective that Christ has about everything.
Yeah.
Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. What it says? Y'all not reading? Somebody said, I don't know what it said. Who what? Now, hold up. Verse 6 is explaining us what that mind is. Y'all see it? Verse 6 is telling us what mind to let be. Some of us have been lied to about the mind of Christ. And it's put us into a pity and a poor and a begging mentality. Instead of a kinship, a ownership, and a oneship with God mentality. So we've been working in that mind, not knowing that the mind of Christ really looks like this. Verse 6, who being in the form of God.
Yes.
Come on, say, I'm in the form of God. Say it loud, say, I am in the form of God. Now, before you get nervous, I always like to say this, before you get nervous, I didn't come up with that, God did. He said he made man in his image and his likeness. Say, I am in the form of God. Who being in the form of God. Thought it not robbery.
Yeah.
Come on, break that down.
Yeah.
I don't think I'm stealing nothing.
No.
Right? I don't think that I'm going, oh, here we go, oh Lord, I'm going to get something that I don't deserve. I'm not worthy. No, we love that gospel. Something that I don't deserve. How do you get to pick what you deserve and not? At what point do you get to pick what you deserve and what you don't deserve? You know, when you say I don't deserve something, you just told God that it's not really about what you think I'm supposed to get. Who? You ever notice that? You never notice you're doing that, though. I'm not worthy. Who? How did you get to pick whether you're worthy or not? You didn't even create yourself. You didn't even wipe yourself. You didn't even clean yourself at first. And now all of a sudden you picking stuff. You choosing now. You making decisions. And God got a whole nother plan. Who being in the form of God, I didn't think I was robbing to say I was equal with God. Say, I'm equal with God. Come on, say I'm one with God. Now, I know people, I know it's scratching. I know the religion scratched. The religion. See, the problem with religion is we stay there too long. We stay there too long, and then we start dying on the vine. You get it? The thing that was meant to send us up and to send us in a direction, we stayed there with that, so we never grew any higher. If you got that little plank, that little stake might be, you know, a foot long, 2 foot long, putting up against that plant. It might be a foot long, 2 foot long. I'm just trying to start you off. I'm just trying to point you in the right direction. After a minute, you're going to grow past me. But some of us hold on to the stake so long. We hold on to the religion so long, we don't grow no more. And then we stunted and we don't bear fruit.
Right.
Who thought in our robbery to be equal with God. So I didn't think I was taking nothing. I didn't think I was getting something that wasn't mine already. Right, you walk in your house and go in your refrigerator and take it. Did you steal it? Why? Why you didn't steal it? Why you wasn't stealing? Why you wasn't stealing? You walk in your house, you put, all right, no, let's go closer. You ready? You put your hand in your own pocket. Yeah. Take it out and be like, I'm gonna steal this for myself. You can't steal from yourself. Why? Because it's yours. Come on, say it's mine. Come on, say it loud, say it's mine. Use your hand, say it's mine. So because it's yours, because you have ownership, it is not robbery. Thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Verse 7, but made of himself no reputation and humbled himself, took upon the form of a servant and made in the likeness of, he made no reputation. Verse 8, he humbled himself. Following the fashion of man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even the death of the cross. Let this mind, everybody say, let this mind.
Yes.
Come on, say it again, let this mind.
Yes.
One more time, let this mind.
Let this mind.
The only mystery there is that you don't know who you are.
Right.
We the only person in the story that don't know our role. The story of God, the Bible is a story about who you and I are. In the whole process that was written on, we the only ones that don't know our role, so we don't know our lines. We don't know where we stand. We stand in what some other people told us. Are we standing where the lie told us to stand? And now we're forfeiting a power that is actually in us as us. So thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Jesus, go to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. There is a turning or a shifting of perspective that has to be made. Listen to what I'm saying. There is a change that we have to see differently. We're no longer doing church as usual.
Amen.
Everybody say amen.
Amen.
Come on, say it real loud. Say amen.
Amen.
You ain't doing me no favors by being here today. Because I'm going to be one with God whether you show up or not. Y'all hear me? You, let me give you another person. You ain't doing God no favors neither. I'm going to pay my dues. God don't need your dues. You ain't got enough dues to give God. He don't need your dues. So what do we do when we come here? You get it? Iron sharpens iron. We're recognizing more and more of who we are. If you go to a service or you go to a place and they don't tell you that the same spirit that dwells in Jesus raised him from the dead dwells in you, you're in the wrong place. They about to send you off in some fake gospel that's going to keep you working for them. It's supposed to be an empowering gospel. The good news is that I'm one with God. The good news is that all the striving I've been doing, God has already done it. Jesus wasn't lying when he said it is finished. But there's a shifting, and I'm not going to be very long at all. There's a shifting that's going to have to take place. There's a shifting that's going to have to take place in your soul, in your mind, in your function. Even the way you study the word of God got to change. Because see, we've been studying the word to try to get principles and try to put principles on our lives and skipping ourselves. Matthew 6, you don't have to go there, but Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. But listen what people do, and I found out what we do. Because of that gospel, that incomplete gospel. It's an incomplete gospel that told you, they tell you that Jesus died for you, but they didn't tell you what he died for. Huh? They told you it was just about your sins. No, it's actually about your oneness with God. It's actually about replacing you back in the same place you were in the beginning with God's original intention. Yeah. Everybody say amen. Amen. Come on, say it again. Say amen. Amen. So the cross just wasn't for your bad doing. Oh, Lord Jesus. No, listen to what I'm trying to tell y'all. The cross wasn't just for the mistake you made yesterday. It covers that, but it would be a low price if it was just for that. Shoot, you could stop that. It's much bigger than that. The cross was a Jesus finalized sacrifice. He finalized it. Before Jesus, it was goat slaughter. Goat, lamb slaughter, cow slaughter, bird slaughter. They would slaughter them every year trying to cover their problems. Only because they didn't know who they were. Jesus says, okay, y'all been putting them goats and them lambs and up there. I'm going to put a person up there in myself. We're going to shed human blood so the human knows that their blood is redeemed. Come on, say, I've been redeemed. Come on, say it again. Say, I've been redeemed. Come on, say it again. I've been redeemed. But in order to be redeemed, you had to be predeemed. Because I can't replay something until it played already. If there's no play first, I can't replay it. So I can't redeem something unless I was deemed already. Jesus is taking it back to how we were deemed already in the image and likeness of God. Be fruitful and multiply, replenish, subdue, have dominion. Everybody say have dominion. Come on, say it again, have dominion. This is the original mindset of God. We get caught up in the weeds. And so they told us that redemption was about sin. Sin is nothing but missing the mark. Come on, say sin is nothing but missing the mark. I want to minimize it. I want to, because sin has been the boogeyman. It's been the boogeyman in church. The preachers made whole ministries off of preaching about sin. Sin ain't nothing. That's another word. That's another word. Just like the other word I used earlier. It's not a spiritual word. It's not a spiritual, supernatural word. Sin is a supernatural word. No, it's not. It's a term. Y'all don't know the language. It's a term that they use back in the Hebrews and Aramaic. It was a simple thing. When they said you sinned, they weren't talking about, ooh, you in trouble. No, they wasn't that. Sin simply meant to miss the mark. That's all. Anybody ever threw darts before? Darts? Huh? And you were trying to hit the bullseye? Yeah, when you miss, you sinned. Yeah. Anybody ever shot a basketball before? Come on, I gotta break it down. Anybody ever shot a basketball before? Huh? Oh, you made all the shots though, right? No. You ever shot it and you missed? You sinned. Look at you. It's your sinful self. Baseball, you might try to swing the ball, play softball, swing the bat, hit the ball, but you miss? You just missed the mark. Everybody say, Mr. Mark. Come on, say it again. Say, Mr. Mark. Come on, say, sin is only. Sin. Say it like that. Say, sin is only. Missing the mark. That's it. Say it. That's it. That's it. Calm down. Calm down. Look at your neighbor. Tell him, calm down. Calm down. Calm down. Calm down. Calm down. You made a whole sin gospel. The gospel has been all about this. No, calm down. You're just missing the mark. It's simple as that. He said, well, nah, because I didn't, you know, they got all this. And then you start pulling out your list of all the things that you call sins. Right? Y'all know y'all got your list, right? You're looking at it right now, ain't you? I know this is a sin, and I know this is a sin. It's funny how well you know sins, but you don't know you one with God. I can call out all the sins, but I can't call out my nature with God. You want to know what's funny? My nature is still one with God in regardless of my sin. I just don't know it. So sometimes I'm falling in those places because I don't know who I am. I done walked in the wrong door because I forgot my identity. I put the wrong account number because I forgot it was me. Yeah. And so now I'm over here missing the mark because I forgot who I was. I didn't let Jesus tell me who I was. We're missing the mark. Come on, say it simply. Come on, say it simply. Missing the mark. So now my question is, every time that I, because you got your little list, I got you, we back to the list, right? Because you got a ton of them on there. All those are simply missing the mark. That's you acting in an identity that ain't really who you are.
Right.
And the only reason you're over there because you just forgot.
Come on.
Or nobody told you. Right? Did you grow up? Anybody ever grew up doing some stuff? Hold on, let me get because y'all don't want to answer in church when they're talking about bad stuff. You don't raise your hands for that. You ever grow up doing something and it was like, oh, I realize I've been doing it the wrong way. Right? I was taught it like that. They taught it to me like that. And so I did it like that until somebody showed me it's really like that. And now I had to change my ways. I had to change my mind. I had to change the way that I was doing things. I had to change the thing that I've been doing over and over and over again for so long. I realized that I had been doing it the wrong way. And now I need to turn this way. Jesus says in Matthew 4, he gets baptized in Matthew chapter 3. Then he gets tempted by the devil in Matthew chapter 4. And it says the Spirit led him to get tempted. He's testing the identity. I'm trying to see if he's going to fall like the rest of them men. Right? And then that right after he finishes verse 17, he says, repent. That's another word. You think repent mean I'm sorry. I said I'm sorry one time. Somebody said, you sure are sorry. Never said it again. I'll say, I apologize. Something like that. You ain't going to call me sorry twice. I'm sorry, Lord. What that got to do with anything? You being sorry. That's emotional. That's in your feelings. Prove it to me. Turn. The word repent. Everybody say repent.
Repent.
Come on, say it again. Say repent.
Repent.
Come on, say it again. Repent.
Repent.
Jesus says, he says, repent for the kingdom of heaven or God's kinship. The way that God does things, the way that heaven does things is at hand. It's right here. It's right now. Everybody say right here.
Right,
right now.
Right.
Repent. I've got to turn. The word repent only means to turn. Come on, get up and turn around for a second. Get up and turn around. Just get up and turn around. Come on, just do it for me, y'all. I got doggy. Just do it. Just get up. Why he got me moving? Get up and turn around and sit down. I turn. Everybody say turn.
Turn.
I've got to turn. When I'm using a camera, sometimes I use a camera. And when I'm using a camera, I can be videoing, but it can be a little blurry. And so I got to take the focus and I got to turn it a little bit. And when not much, but when I turn it a little bit, it gets clear.
Right.
Everybody say turn.
Turn.
See, we're not far, we just got to turn.
Turn.
We're not far, we just got to turn. They've been telling me how to do it this way for the longest. I've been doing this way. And then somebody came in and showed me another way.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody came in and showed me, oh, this is the way to do it, and it's easier, and this is how it works.
Right.
So I've got to turn from focus on that to how that is. Everybody say turn.
Turn.
The word repent. I know I'm telling you some stuff. Sin today and repent. It only means to turn. So Jesus is trying to tell you, turn. Make the turn. Make the change, for the new way is here. I know how y'all been doing things, but this is the way God intended for it to be done. So I need you to turn. Now, the first turn, the number one turn you're going to have to make is on the inside of you, in your soul, about who you are.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, yeah. The turn that we try to make on the outside, it always goes back to that same thing. It always, I don't know if you're going to tell me the truth again. You ever made a mistake? Okay, hold on. Anybody ever made a mistake?
Yeah.
Let me lay hands on y'all now if you're lying up here. Has anybody ever made a mistake?
Yeah.
Right? Have you ever made a mistake, said you were sorry, and made the same mistake again? Well, how that happened? I thought I was sorry. No, you say, I'm sorry, I ain't gonna do it again. I ain't gonna do it again. And then there you go. You did it again.
Yes.
Now, why is it that you did it? You can be remorseful. You ever felt remorseful? Anybody ever felt remorseful?
Yeah.
No, for real. I'll be honest. Anybody ever really felt sorry? Like, man, I shouldn't have talked to him like that. I shouldn't have said that. That was mean of me. Right? You really felt that for a minute. But then the next time that emotion come up, you talk to him the same exact way. Right?
Yeah.
Because you tried to make a turn on the outside and didn't turn the inside. See, every year they had to make sacrifices. Every year they had to kill an animal. Every year they had to kill a goat. Every year they had to kill something because they kept coming back to the same problem. If you ever look in the Bible, you see the prophets over Nehemiah and Jeremiah and all the different prophets. They keep sending prophets and Amos and all that. They keep coming because at the beginning of all those chapters it says, and the children of Israel fell away from God. They kept on saying it. They kept on making the same mistake. Kept on having the same issue over and over again. They were going in a cycle. And the reason they were going in a cycle, watch this. Oh, Lord, here we go. Here we go. Here we go. Everybody say, here we go.
Here we go.
Come on, say, here we go.
Here we go.
Say it loud. Say, here we go.
Here we go.
The reason that they kept falling in the same cycle is because they were sacrificing something outside of themselves and not themselves. I wanted to give something that didn't make me bleed. I wanted to make it bleed, but I didn't want to bleed. I wanted it to die, but I didn't want to die. Yeah. Some people still like that. I want to give something on the outside of me. I want to give something on the outside so that I can, me and Darius were laughing one time. You know, we be talking about tithing, but you know all you got belong to God.
Yeah.
Hold on. Let's talk about it. Everything. That was the gateway. That was trying to line you up to realize that you ain't got nothing that ain't for God.
Yeah.
The moment that you think you got something that ain't for God, you tripping. God gave you everything. You breathing right now because God gave it to you. You can only stand up and see me right now because God gave it to you. You're only breathing right now because God gave it to you. Everything that I have belongs to God. But what we want to do, we want to give God a little something. All right, now God, you got it. Now you good? You good? You straight? We good for a little while? Cool. And I won't go do what I won't do. We do it with prayer all day long. That's why, okay. I don't really subscribe to morning devotion too much. Like morning devotion?
Yeah.
Because if I'm devoted in the morning, what's the rest of the day? Come on. Let's do it. If this is my devoted time, from 9:30 to 10:30, then what's going on at 11? Right? And so I have to recognize a nature change from the inside, right? Because if I keep putting on the Band-Aid, it never heals up.
Yeah.
Listen to what I'm trying to say. If I keep on trying to do the thing on the outside to fix the problem on the outside, to fix the issue on the outside, I keep trying to do that, I'm going to keep repeat offending. I'm a repeat offender.
Yeah.
But then when I realize I change, then when I change, everything about me changes.
Yeah.
I've been trying to change my hand and haven't been changing the man. Do y'all hear what I'm saying? I change my identity. I recognize who I really am. And then when I recognize who I really am, all my hands and everything, my actions that come from me automatically change. We're working really hard trying to change things when you're trying to change the wrong thing.
Yes. That's good.
This is what Jesus comes for. Jesus comes for, now you're not, he don't say, watch this. They say, Jesus said, if any man come after me, here we go. If any man come after me, let him deny himself. Let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. He says, lose your life to find it. Yeah, they don't be shouting church right there. We don't get to shout in church for that one. Nobody say, I received that. You know what I'm saying? We don't receive the deny yourself anointing. They lose your life anointing. They lose your life endowment. If I get up here and say, in the name of Jesus, I pray that everybody lose their life in the name of Jesus so they can find it. Your hand gonna be like, oh, hold up, oh Lord, hold on, what are you talking about, Jesus? The deny yourself anointing. The gift of denying yourself. But he makes a challenge. He says, lose your life to find it. He says, nobody left houses or lands or mothers or fathers or wives and children for my name's sake who won't receive 100-fold. He said, you're going to get 100-fold. You're going to get 100-fold. You're going to get 100-fold, but you got to lose it for my name's sake. Ah, what's your name? You got to lose it for my name's sake. You got to lose your idea of how life works for how I say it works. Everybody say amen.
Amen.
Say it loud. Say amen.
Amen.
Now watch how it gets easy. It gets easy because if I catch it at the root, then the fruit changes. Right? We've been out here trying to change fruit. We're trying to change fruit and we've been failing. We've been failing royally. When if we go in and realize, oh, I'm a different kind of tree. Oh, who I am is really different than what they told me I was. Right? Oh, say it loud. Say,
I'm one with God.
Come on, say it again. I'm one with God. Say, God's nature
is
who I am. Say it again. Say, God's nature
is
who I am. Say,
who God is
who I am. Now they got a rhetoric going out there talking about we want to tell people that they're God. They try to say that. But the problem with them is they're trying to be God without God. How do you create without the creator? You have to recognize and humble yourself and understand that you have been created. The way the embryo forms itself inside the stomach, the way the process goes, the heartbeat, the egg and the sperm come together and plant themselves before the heartbeat starts. But then at what point does God put a light on the inside of there? It's a miracle. You're the miracle. Say,
I'm a miracle.
Come on, say it again. Say,
I'm a miracle.
Say it again. I'm a miracle. Created that way. You created. But then something comes along and tell you something different about yourself. And then you start acting outside of yourself. Because you don't know who you are. The reason it tells you to deny yourself because yourself got you in your problems. Yourself got you in those situations. Yourself or somebody else self and told you about yourself. And now y'all selves. It's a simple situation. See, there is no condemnation. It's not about condemnation. It's about changing reality of who you really are. And Jesus is telling us, and I say this over and over again. Everybody wants to hear the voice of God. And God came out the sky in the Bible and said, this is my beloved son. Hear you him. If you pay attention to what he's saying, there's some things that you're praying about that Jesus already said. But you won't go to the red bars. I'm rhyming. There's some things that have already been said. Jesus has already given us perspective on life. Come on, somebody say amen. Say it loud. Say amen. He's already given us perspective, but we won't go to see what he said. Search the scriptures. John 5:39. Go. John 5:39. Put it on a John 5:39. He says, search the scriptures. For in them you think you have eternal life. He says, and they are they which testify of me. I heard that scripture, verse 39. I heard that scripture for years of my life, coming up as a little kid, for years and years and years. And I never knew verse 40 existed. Put verse 40. And you will not come to me that you might have that life that you're searching for. Hold up. He says, search the scriptures. For in them you think you have eternal life, and they will testify of me, but you won't come to. He's trying to say, I need you to get past the principles and come to the personality.
Yes.
Are you hearing me?
Yes, sir.
Jesus is not trying to line you up to some principles. He's trying to line you up to a person.
Yes.
He's trying to show you that the person you are is bigger than the person you're being.
Yes.
Yeah, he's trying to show you that the results that you're getting are lower than the results that you should be getting. You get it?
Yes, sir.
There's I say this over and over again. Dogs bark and bees buzz. Why? Because that's their nature. That's what they do. Ain't nobody taught them how to do it. Their nature came out of them. And they sometimes our big old brain get us in trouble. Sometimes we think, little dumb dog, little dumb animals, they got smaller brains than us. Most of your brain being used on some foolishness.
Yeah.
Don't get mad at me. You already know what time it is. Then they tell you you can't use one side of your brain. They tell you only use half of your brain. Well, God, no. Why did God give me a whole one if I can only use half of it? What is, you ready for it? What is partitioning me off from using my full brain? What is blocking me off from using the whole thing? What veil is there that's in between me and my God nature? So we get all this other stuff in our minds. Faith comes by. What you hear the most? Wait, don't answer me. Who talking the most? Who giving you advice the most? Listen to what I'm saying. What you hearing? Jesus' words, the red words are the blood of the Bible. That's what I'm telling you. They're the blood of the Bible. Just as your extremities, your hands, every extremity of your body, the vessels have to flow blood to them because it's taking oxygen to those so that your muscles can know how to work. A little biology class real quick. All right, y'all ready? The blood has to flow. And the moment that the blood stops flowing to an extremity, it's dead. It's time to cut it off. Jesus talks about that. He said, any branch of me that don't bear fruit, I cut it off. The moment that the blood starts flowing to an extremity, that's when it starts to break down. Are y'all hearing me? The moment that there's a blockage towards something going to where the blood needs to go, the oxygen doesn't get there, and now it can't function like it should. Are y'all hearing me? Just as the rest of your body needs the blood to flow through it, the rest of the scriptures need the red to flow through it. We've been trying to walk, and this is good. We've been trying to walk in the wisdom of Solomon, not recognizing that Jesus is a greater than Solomon is here. Say he's here. Come on, say he's here. Come on, say he's here.
He's here.
We've been trying to walk in the blessing of Abraham, not realizing he said before Abraham was, I am.
Yes.
Come on, everybody say perspective.
Perspective.
Come on, say it again, perspective.
Perspective.
Say it again, perspective.
Perspective.
But if I don't go to those words and I don't make my eyes red,
Jesus,
in those red words, then I'm trying to function in something on the outside that I haven't changed on the inside. You get me? You try to rub your hand, cause, right? You ever had anything ever fell asleep? Your hand ever fell asleep? Are your feet got numb or whatever? Then you try to rub them and like, you try to do all that. None of that matters until the blood starts flowing. It's only been a blood restriction. It's only numb because there's a blood restriction. That part of your life is only numb because of blood restriction. Yeah. That thing you praying about that you've been trying to get to work for the longest, it's only numb because of blood restriction. We haven't let the blood flow in that place, and so it stays numb. Now you're doing all the stuff trying to wake it up. You're trying to go to class, trying to make more money, trying to get a new job, trying to do another business, trying to open up a company, trying to be an entrepreneur, trying to get it wake up, but the blood just ain't flowing. So I go to the red words, and I let the red words fill the rest of the words with the Spirit. And Jesus, he's over and over again. Even when he said, in Matthew 4, he says, repent. All I'm expecting you to do, I'm not asking you to do a whole lot of stuff. That's what Jesus says. I'm not asking you to do a whole lot of, he said, the law made you do a whole bunch of stuff. Made you jump over every hurdle and jump through every hoop. And you had to get everything. You got to dot every I and cross every T and do everything right. And if you don't do everything right, we got to kill somebody to make sure we get it right. And all these different things. He said, that told you to do all that stuff. All I'm telling you to do is repent. Turn. Turn your mind. Let your mind turn. Let your mind turn from the way you thought it was to the way it actually is. Say, I'm one with God. Say it loud, I'm one with God. Now, most people, it's backwards. It's backwards. I got to stop. It's backwards. Watch this. It's backwards. Because, see, we're trying to do something to be one with God instead of recognizing that I'm one with God and let my being come from there. You ever had two magnets? You have two magnets, and you try to put them together, right? And they're pushing away. But if you flip that other magnet, then they snap together. I mean, it's almost automatic. Everybody say automatic. Come on, say it's almost automatic. All it takes is to flip it, and then it snaps together. Everything comes together when I flip it. Yeah, I just got to flip the script. Watch this. I got to flip the script, church. Flip the script. If I flip it, I don't need to go get another magnet. I don't need to go. I just need to take it and flip it. Because the way that I'm turned is repelling God from me.
Hallelujah.
Oh, Lord. That's what money cometh is. It's a polarity change. You've got to flip. If you flip, all these things will be added. What you talking about? That's what he's trying to say in Matthew 6. But I got my magnet turned the wrong way, and so now I'm pulling everything that everybody else want me to pull. You ever had something showed up that you didn't expect to show up? Mm-hmm. A bad thing, right? Yeah. I didn't pray for that. If what I say happens, then why did that happen? Because I ain't say that. Yeah. Maybe I didn't. Right? It's because my magnet is turning the wrong way, and the system wants that. The enemy, the devil wants you to turn your magnet in the wrong way so he can use your magnet to pull what he wants. Come on, y'all. Come on. Everybody say amen.
Amen.
But if I turn, if I flip my magnet, if I could flip my magnet, then it automatically snap together. Yes. And boy, it'd be so hard to pull them apart.
Yeah.
Ain't it? Because the sides are matching now.
Yeah.
But I got to flip it. I got to flip it. I got to flip my perspective. Just like Jesus flipped over the tables. I got to flip my perspective. Okay. You got to catch what Jesus is doing when he does it. When Jesus goes in the temple, hear what I'm saying. I'm going to say this, I'm about to go sit down. When Jesus goes in the temple, he goes in there and he says, my father's house should be a house of prayer. Y'all know that story? Yeah. He came in with a rope. He said he was beating them. Yeah, whooping tail up in there. Yeah, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Whooping tail up in there. But he went in there with some fury because he said there was a reason for this house, but you have changed the house into something else. My body is the temple of the Lord. Ah, Jesus lives on the inside of me. Say, my body is a temple. My temple was supposed to be a house of prayer, but you made it into a den of thieves. You allowed all these other thoughts. Thieves. Thought not robbery to be equal with God. Thieves. You made a den of thieves. Thought not robbery to be equal with God. Made it into a den of thieves. And they coming in and they stealing. So he went in and started whooping people. They say he whooped them out the temple. You know how much whooping that is? I done kind of whoop him, but I ain't never got whooped out the house. There was so much whooping, he whooped everybody out the temple. They ain't say his friends helped. He whooped everybody himself. But he went in there and flipping over tables, he said, because you turned my father's house into a den of thieves. Watch what I'm saying. Listen what I'm saying. Who have you let your father's house turn into a den of thieves? Listen to what I'm saying. And now when I get into the red words and I get into Jesus and I let Jesus talk to me, you better get ready because he's coming in whooping. He coming in whooping every thought that say you ain't like God. He coming in and flip over every table that has been stealing from you. He coming in and whooping every understanding and every mindset that is saying, God, you're not one with God. You ain't, God ain't make you in his image and his life. He whooping it. He taking the rope and he whooping it out of there. Stop fighting the whoopings. My mom used to tell me we were smaller and I didn't believe it. I believe it now that I'm mature and grown and perfected as a grown man. But I didn't believe it. They're talking about I'm whooping you because I love you. No, you don't love me. Jerry, how you love me? How you love me? Put your hand on. You don't love me. Where is the love? How could you love me and you tell me go get the belt? I got to go get it myself and bring it back to you. The whole walk is torment. Go get the switch. Some of y'all don't know nothing about going and get the switch. I gotta get out of here. Every time I had to go get the switch, I made a switch in my mind. I'm walking, I said, well, you know, I am really kind of sorry. I did kind of do that kind of wrong. So I'm trying to figure out how I'm gonna get my mama to switch her mind for whooping me. Get the switch. Get the switch. Change your mind. There's a perspective that Jesus has. There's a perspective. I'm gonna leave it with this. There's a perspective that he has that will draw everything that you're trying to go get. It'll draw all the good things to you. Listen to what I'm trying to say. It'll change the perspective of your life. There's a perspective that Jesus has, but you have to go in and you have to dive, D-I-V-E, and die in the red. When you dive and die in the red, then you come up looking and you start seeing stuff different. You no longer need discernment because you are discerned. Y'all hear me? You realize that I am, as I wake up, I'm a living prayer. The moment I woke up, I started requesting God in my area. Y'all hear me? But I got to go see what Jesus is saying. And when I see what Jesus is saying, it changes me into one with God. Say, I am.
I am.
Say it loud. Say, I am.
I am.
One more time. Say it loud. Say, I am.
I am.
One with God.
One with God.
Amen. Amen. And amen.